Succession number 21110, Reel 5.
Jerry Locke, Reel 5. So, you're into Germany, and you've told me some of the incidents, so you went on, didn't you?
Yeah. We went up through the Ruhr Valley, mm-hmm. and when we finished in the Ruhr Valley, we were released, and we went back to the British sector.
Right. So where were you when peace was declared?
Well, when we left the Ruhr Valley and left the American, we went about 250 miles on road, not on transporters, to Lüneburg.
Uh-huh.
On the way up, we stopped outside of a place where we were told we weren't allowed to put our feet on the ground mm-hmm. at all. Nobody were to leave their vehicle. And then we saw some poor people struggling down the road in their black and white pajamas and bound feet. Mm-hmm. And we were outside of Belsen, which we didn't know. And we went on to a little village that day, and the next day we got all the villagers from 8 to 80 out into the village, and they walked through blackboards covered with pictures of Belsen.
Really?
Which even shocked us, you know, and we were told if anybody remarked or smiled or anything like that, they were to be taken out, and they put them in a 3-ton lorry and took them down there to see for themselves, and they come back broken people.
Yeah.
They really came back broken people, yeah. Yeah.
So who arranged those photos and things on the blackboard?
I
British Army? Or?
The Army Information Centre, I used to think.
Oh.
I mean, we were shocked, you know, and to think we were so close to it, you know.
Yeah. Did you actually see it at all yourself?
No, it was all behind trees.
Right.
The smell wasn't very nice, you know. As I said, we gave some corned beef, opened some corned beef tins and some stew tins and started giving to these people. And the officers came over, crating up, you know, rounding them up and taking them away. And then the MO told us after they had to be fed on milk, their stomachs was, you know, we would have killed them, given them food to eat, you know, which we didn't understand. And he said it had to be milk and bread and all that to build them up, you know. But the few we saw was terrible, you know, walking zombies they were.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you hadn't known about the concentration camps.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. No idea.
Did that alter your attitude to the German people?
Well, not really, because it was soon after the war was over. We moved on to a place called Zeven, outside of Bremen Vorde, and that's where our war finished. We were attached to the 51st Highland Division.
Mm-hmm.
And
where was that? Could you tell me that place again?
Zeven. Mm-hmm. Zeven.
Right.
Outside of Bremen Vorde.
Right. And you were attached to?
51st Highland Division.
Thank you.
We were told to bring all our tanks right up to the side of the road. And all day long we had high-ranking German officers coming through, going through to meet Montgomery to sign the peace. Then we were listening on our radios to all the towns in cities in England, everybody rejoicing and happy and all the rest of it. And 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we were told to load our tanks up again. We were going back into action. And apparently what it was that the garrison commander of Bremen-Vorde, he wanted a ceremonial parade for his troops to lay down their arms in front of a statue of the Kaiser. But Montgomery said it was unconditional surrender, and it was with no conditions. So we were ready to go in, but anyhow, that fell through. So.
Yeah. What did you feel now the war was over?
Oh, really great. Yeah. We thought everything was going to be different, you know. A couple of us dug a big V in the ground and dot, dot, dash. We filled it with flamethrower fuel and caught fire to it, you know. And it was burning away there.
Was that at night?
Well, in the afternoon, but it went on through the night, yeah. We had a sort of sports day and races and officers against the men and all this sort of thing, like, you know. And then after a few days, we moved off to Rosenberg. It was Luftwaffe airport, aerodrome that we went to. And we were there when Montgomery came, not to see us. The Guards Armour Division, they rode up this runway in their tanks, and they marched back as infantry. That was the Guards Armour. They come back, but Montgomery was there, but we made sure we stayed out of the way, like. And then after that, we had our tanks were taken away from us. The Scots Greys had our flamethrowers, and we had Hummers. Armoured cars in half tracks, and then we went on sort of riot squad duties and things like that, you know. And
so did you stay in Rosenberg or...?
No, we went to a place called Gierden outside of Hanover. And as I told you once before, one of our chaps got badly burnt early on in the war. Well, he came back to the regiment about March, and he said, "The first time I see a tiger, I'm gone," he said. And we said, "Well, we haven't heard of any." But the same thing happened with him that always happened. If you get hit or injured or anything, they put you straight back in. They put him straight back in the next day, went round the corner, and what was sat there was a tiger tank. They backed out. He went out to his companionway, the tank got away, and he was taken prisoner of war. We went back down the next day, and we stopped there making inquiries, and they said he'd been taken prisoner, which we were worried about because the Germans always said that any crews from flamethrowing tanks would be lined up and shot, which they did in Normandy. They actually did that in Normandy. And anyhow, that was the last we heard of him. But when we were in Gurdon, a long time after the war finished, chap come off leave and said, "Guess who I saw on Paddington Station?" And it was this chap. So, of course, in no time, the MPs picked him up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, when he heard that. Then.
So he'd escaped from... He'd been imprisoned, had he?
No, he was taken prisoner of war. But what actually happened was, the same day he was taken in prisoner of war, the Americans freed him. They took him back behind the lines, put him on a plane to England, and said, "Stay there till you hear from your regiment." And he didn't hear, and he didn't want to hear, actually, you know. But he was put on a charge, of course. But the last we heard was that he went to a holding unit where nobody knew where he came from, and he was then posted somewhere where we wouldn't know where he'd gone. We did hear he was in Italy, but they did it pretty discreet. Because, well, you know, it was terrible for him, right, really.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
But when the regiment broke up at Girard, we had a terrific big party. I was in charge at the time, the regimental canteen.
All right. So what sort of date was this, do you think, at Girden?
Around about June 45, I should think.
Yeah.
We had this big party, and I was in charge of the canteen. We had a second lieutenant come to us in Helmsley. He was now a major. And the chap like myself that had still in the regiment, had been in it a long time, we got all the cushy jobs like the storeman and all the rest of it, and I got the canteen job. And I got me straight there because nobody could take a swipe at me, you know. And I didn't have any for a long while, and they said, oh, you've got to. You haven't got a leg to stand on, or somebody. Anyhow, we had this big party, and I then went to the 1420th King's Hussars down in Wuppertal.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
1420 King's Hussars.
Yeah, that was in Wuppertal.
Right. Just going back to the canteen for a little while. What sort of a canteen was it? This is in Girden, is it?
Yes, yeah. Only where you get beer and that. I had the German that owned the building, he used to come and work for us, and I had eight German girls working there, like, you know, and we used to have cakes and beer and tea and things like that, you know, place for them, a reading room, writing room, table tennis and all this sort of thing, you know, something to... The thing was, after the war, boredom was one of the worst things, you know. They were playing football or something or other, you know, to take away the boredom.
Yeah. How did you all get on with the German civilians?
Very well.
Why?
Very well indeed, yeah. Mm. Yes, they were very much like our own race, really, you know, and... I didn't ever have any problems with them. And
so then you went to the 1420th King's Hussars.
Yeah.
Mm. So what were you doing there?
Well, I was on a half-track crew. That was sort of for riot squad. Mm. But I didn't ever go out on the half-track. Mm. I was a wireless operator. We had two crews to one half-track. But I didn't go out. I went playing football one day. I had a bit of coughing cold. I went playing football one day, and I had a stitch. And I said to my mate, I said, I'm going to have a skive today. I'm going sick. He said, you don't usually have a skive. I said, no, I'm going to report sick. So I went on sick parade, went and saw the officer and told him I had the stitch and that, and he sounded me chest. Get dressed, he said, and I'll be back in 2 minutes. In he came with two men with stretchers, and I was on a stretcher on my way to hospital, and I had TB.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and after spending hospital in Wuppertal and coming back on the hospital ship to Southampton, then into a military hospital in Hindhead in Surrey.
Oh, right. So you came back on the, I better write this down, the hospital ship?
Yeah, the Atlantis.
Atlantis.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you went to hospital?
Yeah, in Hindhead in Surrey.
Right. So had you known you'd got TB?
No, no idea.
No. How ill were you?
Well, I couldn't say. I just had this cough, and when I ran, I'd get this pain in the side, and, you know, I didn't feel tired or ill or anything like that, not to my knowledge, you know. And
right. So you were in an isolation hospital?
Well, they put me in a ward on my own in Wuppertal, and the matron come in and she said, how old are you, right? And I told her I was 22 or so young, she said. And it was Christmas. She said, remember, alcoholic liquor is no good to you. Smoking is no good to you. Sex excitement is no good to you. Otherwise, a Merry Christmas.
Gonna have a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, so, as I said, we got transported across Germany in a train. And lovely train, white sheets, sat up nice, lovely, big windows. Got back to England on a train in Southampton going to Hinder. A converted milk truck. Wooden bed, couldn't even sit up.
So what was the hospital like in Hindhead?
Strictly military. Mm-hmm. They used to line up the beds with a bit of string, everyone in line, and the red blankets on the bottom, every had a red blanket. They all had to be in line. Our blue uniforms we had, you know, for used to have very bright blue uniform, white shirts and red ties. That had to be on the locker, and the toys had to be in every crease, you know, down the middle. The matron would come round in the morning. Either you led at attention, sat to attention, or stood by your bed to attention, like, you know. And then I had an operation down there to collapse my lung, and they sent me to Ham Green Hospital, just outside of Bristol.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really different, you know. Different food, and instead of eating off of tin plates, we were eating off of crockery and that, you know. Nurses and the staff were very good. And it was from there I got discharged, you know, right. From the army.
Right. And so what year were you discharged?
That would be 1948.
48?
Yeah.
Oh, right. So it wasn't 1950 then?
No, no.
Right, so that was May, was it?
Well, later than that, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Can't remember exactly when, but anyway.
So, what sort of treatment did you have in hospital?
I had an operation on my neck, and they crush a nerve in your neck, which paralyses your diaphragm, or not paralyses, it makes it flap about, and they pump air underneath that and lift it up so that it rests the lung.
Yeah.
Apparently, got the idea of from a pregnant woman, actually. So, and I had that for air pumped in my stomach every week for 4.5 years, and then every fortnight for another year and a half.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that cured you?
Well, yes, I've had no trouble since, yeah. Right, thank touchwood.
What did you think of the treatment you got at the time? You know, did you think they were they nice to you? And
oh, yeah, they were very nice. Of course, it was all modern treatment. Like, you know, it's because people were dying like flies with TB, you know, so many deaths. And always seemed to be, when we were down in Surrey, in Hindhead, we were in a big ward, about 40 beds. Always seemed to be at night they died. Always seemed to be in the night that they died.
That was a military hospital, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So all people from the army with TB?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Or not. I think there's some of the other forces there, like, you know, but mostly.
Military.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what did you feel about getting discharged? Where did you go to be discharged?
Gloucester. I went to Gloucester to get all my discharge papers, mm-hmm. At the barracks there. And I went to Woking to get kitted out my civvy clothes.
Yeah.
Went down to Woking.
So what did you feel about leaving the army after all this time?
Terrible, really. I wanted to sign on for 7 and 5, you know, but of course I went down with TB, I would have done. I don't think I would have wanted to stay. I didn't care for the 1420 King's Hussars at all.
Why, were they very different to what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What were they like?
I suppose because they were part of the household cavalry, they were stricter in many ways. Some of our chaps were put on a charge for not saluting an officer when he had civilian clothes on. So we got together and wrote to live letters in the Daily Mirror. And back come the answer that when you salute an officer, you're saluting a uniform, not the man, so there is no need for you to salute. They didn't like that at all, the officers, not one little bit.
They thought you were a Bolshie lot, didn't they?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
So, that was it. So, what, when you signed out, I mean, nobody sort of thanked you for your service, did they?
Or oh, no,
just,
no.
Yeah, just there you are.
Glad to get rid of it, I think.
So what did you do after that?
Well, I was off for a long time. I used to go to the doctors every couple of weeks for checkups, and as I said, I used to go to Central Health Clinic for treatment every week. And then they started up a factory in Bristol for TB people. It was Remploy Limited. And I went there, and after 2 years I was my supervisor, and I stayed there for 37 and a half years.
Did you?
Yeah, so.
Till he retired?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, right. So I've got a few more questions. I mean, you saw an awful lot, didn't you, in your active service?
Yes, I think. Well, I always think, you know, didn't see as much as some, but more than others, you know.
Well, when you were doing sort of patrolling after VE Day, was it when you were with the Hussars?
Yeah.
You were patrolling German towns, were you?
Yeah. If there was any trouble or anything, you'd be sent out, you know.
What sort of trouble did they get?
Well, they used to call them, what was it they used to call them? Werewolves, they used to call themselves, like, you know, and you'd hear them at night howling like wolves, like, you know, in packs, and, yeah. You know.
And who were they? Were they young Germans?
Just young, yeah. A lot of them that had been in the Hitler Youth and things like that, you know. In Wolverhampton, one of our chaps was knocked out and stripped, like, you know, of his uniform and everything, and they sent down patrols down there, like, because it was all ruins, you know, just piles of ruins. Those people that knew their way around could be in and out of these ruins, you know, and you had to be careful yourselves that you didn't go somewhere where you were going to get caught.
So it's quite just a threatening atmosphere, really.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So how long were you doing that for quite a time?
Well, until I went in hospital with TB, like, it was only...
Do you know when you went to hospital, what?
In the November.
It was November...
45, yeah.
45, right.
Yeah.
Right. So, did you see any displaced persons when you were in Europe?
Oh, yeah, quite a lot, yeah.
Yeah. What were they like?
I went... when we were at... I keep forgetting the name. When we were at the aerodrome at the end of the war, Rotenburg, mm-hmm. At the end of the runway was a DP camp. And we went down there on guard. It was full of typhus. And our job was to stop them coming out and to stop anybody going in. We'd had our typhus injections and everything before we went in. They were Latvians, Estonians, all sorts of different races. But on the other side of the road was a little camp where a German searchlight unit used to be in there. The Russians, they made their own camp in there, and they wouldn't let any of the others go in with them, so that they separated themselves. But we had a job of separating the billets, all women in one billet, all men in another, 2 days after they was all back where they were before. That was a waste of time, you know.
How cooperative were they? Were they?
They'd been pushed around so much, we were just another regime, you know. We used to spray them with DDT to delouse them and things like that. And a lot of them just couldn't care less, you know. We were just somebody else pushing them about, like, you know. Not all that cooperative. You had to sort of really shout at them. And then I was there one day, and they'd got a length of water pipe and put out into a tree. And they got a rope from somewhere and put up in the tree. And they were doing exercises on there, you know. And it was surprising. And the women would have a go, and they'd lift themselves up about a foot off the ground. And a couple of weeks after, they'd be lifting themselves really up. And they were doing it all themselves, like, you know, getting yourself fit and that. Of course, they were getting better rations with us than what they used to.
Where were they all from?
All over the place, you know. Yeah. You couldn't even learn a language because there were so many different languages, like, you know.
What about the Fife and Forfar? I mean, that's a very Scottish name. Mm-hmm. Did it seem very Scottish when you were in it?
Yes. There was quite a few Scots people, and as the Scots always do, we were always ribbing one another, like, you know. Not with any animosity, you know. I remember one time we were at, I think it was Helmsley, quiet at night, nothing doing. I was going over to Naffy. I was going in to the last week, playing a short now.
Yeah, that's okay. So you're going
Yes.
Do you want to stop for a minute?
Yes, you know, I was going to the Naffy, and as I was going out, I said, best thing ever come out of Scotland was a road to England, you know. And when they came back after having a couple of points, they were saying, you started a row here, like, you know. But we were all... And when we were in France and Belgium, the Scots could say anything about us, but they wouldn't let anybody else say anything against us. If it's the French or Belgians or anything, they'd be up in arms, like, you know, that was their privilege, you know.
So did you have any sort of Scottish sort of traditions or anything, or do you...
Any Scottish?
Traditions in the regiment, or...?
Well, not as such, I don't think.